I worship you, Jesus. It's your strength in me, Father.
Yes, Lord.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. We make no mistake. We make no mistake, Father. It's our faith in Jesus. It's our faith in his name. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all, Father. It's faith in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Faith in that name. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we bless you, righteous Father. I worship you, Jesus. Father, an alabaster box have we not, Lord? An alabaster box have we not? But such as we have from our spirit, Holy Father, we give it unto you. We give you an everlasting praise out of our spirit. We have found that certain creditor. I have found that certain creditor that paid my debt in full and then canceled it. An alabaster box have I not, Jesus, but such as I have out of my spirit, I give it you, my Lord. An everlasting, I love you. An everlasting, I praise you. I have found that certain creditor, a debt that I could never repay, Jesus. A debt that I could never repay in the natural, God. A debt I could never repay.
Thank you, Jesus.
A debt that you paid and that you canceled. And if that was not enough, Jesus, you lit my candle. You reconciled me to the Father. And you healed me of all disease. So an alabaster box I have not, Jesus, but such as I have out of my spirit, my King. Such as I have out of my spirit, the place that the Holy Ghost quickened. I tell you, Abba Father, that I love you and I worship you. You are that certain creditor, Jesus. I found you over 20 years ago. I found you 20 years ago. You paid my debt. And then you canceled it. And then, Jesus, you reconciled me to the Father. And I became a son of God.
Glory.
So I tell you again, King Jesus, an alabaster box I have not to give you. But I have what you've waited for years for somebody to worship out of, Father. And that's out of our spirit.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you, God.
And my God.
Thank you, God.
I worship you, Jesus. Praise you and thank you. Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Be seated quietly, please. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. It's Holy Spirit. You are the one, sir. You are the one. May I be patient to wait on your words. So patient to preach your word out of the light, Father. Never, never leaving that operation. Out of your grace, out of your spirit, Father. Lord put this in my heart a couple of months ago to have a homecoming service. We had quite a turnout. And a lot of young people have been asking for get-togethers. And the Lord laid it on my heart to get together at least once a month for now until he showed me different. We call it TTG, Training This Generation. God knows this generation needs training. There's just too much doctrine, too much teaching out there. There's too many options in God's kingdom. In essence, there's only one gospel. There's only one apostles' doctrine. And I don't expect many people to come to this. This is just going to be for those that want to take it the extra mile with Jesus. But this is not going to be a social club. It's just a carryover from what we preach here on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. But a gathering of young adults, and there are a few out there in this town that are hungry still. So this is what this is about. We've never been about numbers in our church. We never will be. Me and my pastor, we never get together to get creative on how we can lure people into the church. That's not what, if that's your disposition about how church growth should be, then my friends, you're in error of the scriptures. You're in complete errors of the scriptures. You have to get together with a deacon board and with your pastor to create more ways to fill up the chairs in your church on Sunday mornings. We are in error of the scriptures, and that's our disposition. That is not biblical. If the anointing cannot draw them in, then we need to be retrained in God's kingdom. My heart's desire is to help the unfortunate. My heart's desire is to feed the poor. That's a commandment from God. But do you know that that's real easy to do? You know it's real easy to feed the poor and to give to the less fortunate? That's real easy. It's a commandment, but it's easy. That's real easy, Pastor Brown. Anybody, really, and I'm not downplaying it, because the book of 1 John said to do it. The book of James said to do it. But that's real easy. You know what's hard? Not hard. You know what's not as easy? It's to carry your cross daily. That's why very few Christians do. We know nothing about in the modern day church about carrying our cross daily. We know nothing about saying no to the flesh. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Meaning I have no investment in me. I cannot be manipulated or handled by the devil. There's nothing in me that he can use against me to draw me back from the Father's will. So the modern day church knows nothing about saying no to the flesh. So we give into it day in and day out, doing work in the kingdom with a ton of strongholds in our life that we think we can do nothing about, and we do nothing about them. But here we're taught a little different. We're taught a little different here in this church. We're taught a little different. Actually, we're taught a lot different. Not different from the Bible, but we're teaching the Bible. And there's a few teenagers I know in this town, in this church, that are going to take it to the next level. That's what TTG is about, training this generation. That's what this is about training that next generation. Because my friends, I'm 48 years old. I'm halfway home. My pastor's 55. We're halfway home. You're not. So the heart of my God and the heart of my pastor and my heart is to give you what we have and to teach you what we know and to lead you to the best teacher on the face of this earth, and his name is the Holy Spirit. That's what this is about here. This will not be a social club. This will be a time of training, of sound doctrine, and of worship, and of fellowship with each other. This will be about teaching you how to carry your cross daily. Not being content who you are with strongholds in your life, thinking that you can do nothing about them. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Most Christians keep up, they keep their strongholds thinking in their mind they can do nothing with them because they've been bound with them for so long. So they think this must be a part of a typical Christian life to have these strongholds and weaknesses inside of me and to live with them for the rest of my life. There's only one problem with that theology or that doctrine. It is not true, because Jesus said the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me, and he said that in his humanity as a human being with a born-again spirit. And guess who else has a born-again spirit as a human being? If Jesus said the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me, he has no investment in me, then guess what? Me and you can have no investment in me and you, where Satan can come and knock and bark all he wants to, and no investment will be found in me and you, where he can manipulate us and uses as puppets. If Christ did it in his humanity, then so can me and you if we incorporate the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the apostles' doctrine, or vice versa. If we can incorporate this, live by it, breathe it, let it consume us, then we can be in the same place and receive what Jesus Christ wants me and you to receive in this city of ours. That's to win this town over and to see the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, and yes, even the dead to be raised in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what this is about and nothing else. Strengthen me, my God. You are my strength. That's what this is about. I wanted to tap into John 13, but I don't think he wants me to do that. I'm more than ever, these last couple of weeks, I'm learning to just yield to his voice. Should have learned that 20 years ago. It's okay. But I'm learning. I'm going to go to a very familiar portion of scripture real quick. We have to learn how to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I heard two teachings last night that blew my mind by Dr. Jim Martin. They blew my mind. One of them was called, Is Your Church in Order? And the other one is called, Are You in Order? I recommend that you hear them. They're on Jim Martin's website. You got to hear them in that order. Hear the one first that says, Is Your Church in Order? Hear that one first. And then if you can, hear the second one. You got to hear them in that order. He brought some points out that I never even thought about. I don't know if Pastor Bronx heard them or not, but they are incredible. Every elder in our church needs to hear them. I know they ministered to me big time about my walk and my responsibilities in this church and in the kingdom of God. You know that in the New Testament, 11 of the 12, they didn't preach legalism. Do you think Christ preached legalism? Or did he preach grace? He preached grace. Do you think Paul preached legalism? Or did he preach against legalism? What do you think he preached? Against it or for it? Against legalism. He preached truth, life, and grace. I heard Dr. Jim Martin say this last night. It's been common in the body of Christ that the saints of God call church, well, it's just a wall. It's just another day of church service. I'm not going to go to church legalistically. It's not important. But Paul preached it as a grace, saying, do not forsake the assembly. People say, oh, I'm not going to go to church legalistically. You mean going to church, hearing God's word and worshiping God? If you think that's legalist, that you think that's legalism, my friends, you're legalist. That's grace. That's love from the throne room of heaven from the Apostle Paul. He said, do not forsake the assembly together with the saints. My God, that's not legalist, my friends. That's grace. That's love. If you truly love Jesus Christ, you will have a heart to embrace your brothers and sisters. When that church doors are open, you'll be there. Why? Because that is the grace of God. That is an instruction from the Almighty God through the Holy Spirit to Paul, to us. It's an honor to come together and to worship Jesus Christ. It's an honor. Somebody told me yesterday as I showed up to pray, you mean you're going to pray on Saturday? I said, hey, man. And I meant it. I said, me coming here is not a sacrifice. It's an honor and a privilege. What do you mean? Are you coming here to worship on Saturday? It's your family time. Yes, it is. And I had family time. But me going in there, that's an honor. It's not a work. It's a privilege. It's not a work. It's an honor and a privilege to go before my righteous King. Paul didn't preach legalism. He preached the true gospel. And one of the things he taught was, do not forsake the assembling of the church. Don't forsake, don't us coming together, brothers and sisters. That's not legalism, my friends. That's the word of God. Please change your thinking. Change it. That is the word from God. When I heard him say that yesterday, I just flipped. I flipped. I said, my God, I never thought about it like that. He said a lot of other things that I'm not even going to talk about yet because I'm not qualified to talk about them yet. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. John said this. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Listen to what John said. He said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Who is our fellowship with? With who, according to what I just repeated? Our fellowship is with who? With the Father. And with who? And His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, these things write I unto you, that your joy, he's talking to believers, may be full. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That word we is mentioned over 50 times in the book of 1 John. So we're going to, and this is not going to be a class on 1 John. I'm just going to lay a foundation. That word we is used over 50 times in the book of 1 John. And I say we, and I'm going to break down what that word we means because it's used 50 times. And John said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie and do not the truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. He said the word we three times three times. So it's going to be to our best interest and my best interest as a teacher to establish and to go into that text, into 1 John, and to know in that epistle what that word we means. And don't turn there. If you have an ear to hear, you're going to like what I have to say today. It's a little new today. Not what I have to say, but what I've received through hours of praying in the Spirit and through years of reading the book of 1 John. All glory to the risen Savior. It all comes from Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Don't turn there. We're going to establish what that word we means. Behold, my God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We're going to establish and get a meaning what that word we means to prove to you that John is writing to a born-again believer in John chapter 1. Because there's many big-time churches, and big-time churches a little bit bigger than ours, maybe about 28,000 bigger than ours, that say something totally different than what this little old about 180, 179, that contradict the Word of God. So I'm going to prove to you, out of the Scripture, out of this epistle, what we mean and who we is talking about. He said, behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Let's rewind. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 50 times, over 50 times, the word we is mentioned in the book of 1 John. John, right there, teaches me and you who, when he says we, who he's talking about. Beloved, now we are the what? Beloved, now are what? We, the sons of God. Who are the sons of God according to what I just taught you? We. Who is we talking about? The sons of God. Beloved, you born again believers, now are we the beloved. Now are we the sons of God. Is that pretty simple? Is that pretty concrete there? Who we is making reference to? We is talking about the sons of God. We is talking about the brethren. We is talking about the beloved. We is talking about sons of the living God. It's established. Do you see it? Are we in agreement? Whether you agree with me or not, it doesn't matter. It still doesn't change to God's word. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. 1 John chapter 1. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we who? We the sons of God. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Are you with me? Do you get a comprehension of who he is making reference to when he says the word we? Are you with me? When he says the word we, is he talking to believers or non-believers? Because I told you so, or because you see it in the Scripture? You see it in the Scripture. Exactly right. Now, before we were born again, do you think God was light outside of us before we were born again? Yes, God has always been light. God is light. Before our, when I say the terminology, our candle being lit, I'm saying that we're born again. That's what that means. If I say light, I'm making reference to the new nature, the born again spirit that lives inside of us. So if I say truth, that we live out of that truth, I'm making reference to the born again spirit. Just so you'll know my terminology. You with me? God is light. Whether he's in me as a believer, he's light. If he's not in me and I'm not a believer, he is still light. So either way you look at it, if we're not believers, he's still light. He's an external light outside of me. You with me? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, the sons of God, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We who? the sons of God, we lie and do not the truth. Are you with me? God is light. And in him, in who? In God is no what? No darkness at all. Light and darkness are two completely different things. Completely opposite. Completely. There is no comparison in light and darkness. Try walking outside when it's completely dark onto a highway with coming cars with no headlights on and see what happens. Try crossing a street in the daytime in the light without coming cars coming up and down the road. You'll make it to the other side. Light and darkness, nothing in common. Try crossing that street, pitch dark, no lights, cars crossing the road. Try crossing that road. You're gambling. You might get hit. Light and darkness have nothing in common. I mean, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Nothing in common. Nothing. They are complete opposites. God is light. Is he a fraction of light or is he all light? Is he 80% light or is he 90% light or is he 100% genuine light? God is light. Remember, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that. You have to remember, this is sound doctrine that I'm giving you today. This is stuff that very few preach. Why? Because they do not give themselves over to the Holy Spirit. God is light, Carl. God is light. And in him, in who? In God is no darkness at all. If we say, we who, the sons of God, that we have fellowship with him. If we, the sons of God, say we have fellowship with God, whom is all light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You get it? Are you with me? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we, the sons of God, say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember what I said, that God is light. Even when we're not born again, he's still light. He's an external light, not in us, because we don't know him as Redeemer. We don't know Jesus as Redeemer, so he's still light. Even if he's not in us, he's still light. Then he says in the next verse, no, he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Remember that I said that God is light? Let's say you're not born again. Just because you're not born again doesn't mean that God isn't light. Just because you're born again doesn't mean God is darkness. God is still light. But then he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, God is light. First verse. Second part says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if you are a born again believer and you confess Jesus Christ as Savior, God comes and lives inside of you. Now, John said, God is light. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Immediately, the Holy Spirit, he quickens your spirit. He breathes the breath of life, the life of God inside of your being, and you go from death unto life. You become a son of God. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, as he is in the light, he is that light now inside of what? Our spirit. God is light. And that light now, we confess Jesus Christ as Redeemer. That light now is where? Inside of me and you. So God is light. So now that light, that life of God abides in me and you. And if the light abides in us and God is light, then where does God abide in us? If God is light, we give our life to Jesus and confess him as Redeemer, then the Bible says that we're quick and the light is inside of us. And if God is that light, then who else is inside of us as one? God. The nature of God is in us. God is light. If we get born again and the life of God is breathed into us and now our candle has been lit, that means the light is in us. And who's in us? God. The nature of God is in us. Are you with me? The light's in us. And if the light is in us, and if God is light, then that means who's in us? God. God is, we are recreated beings into the image of the Almighty God, quickened by the Holy Ghost. The nature of God lives inside of me and you. Are you with me? And out of that nature, it's not just there to occupy space, my friends. That nature is inside of me and you. The light of God, the life of God is inside of me and you for one reason and one reason alone. For me and you to live outside of that nature that lives inside of me and you. That's what the church has absolutely forgotten. That this walk, Romans 1 said, Paul said, and this life that I serve God with, I serve it in or out of my spirit. Our spirit has been lit. Our candle has been lit. God is light. When we said yes to Jesus, the light was lit inside of us. We went from darkness until light. And God is light. And if that light was turned on inside of me and you, and God is light, then God lives inside of me and you. And that is what we live out of. We live out of the nature of God inside of me and you. And me and you concluded through the writings of 1 John that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if that's true, if the word of God is true, which I know that it is, and God is light, and that light abides in me, and God is light, that means God abides in me. If that is true, then we are born again to live our lives out of that light. All that he says to the uh-uhs and the uh-uhs, the commandments that we're to live with, they live inside of me and you. And you concluded with me, you agreed with me through the scripture that in that light, there is no darkness at all. And if that light is in my spirit, and you concluded with me, you agreed with me by the writings of John that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now we've concluded through Jesus Christ that light, that God is in my spirit. The same God that is in my spirit, you concluded that in God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Nothing's changed. If God is in me, if God has lit my candle, and you concluded that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and if he abides in me as light, then guess what does not live in my spirit? What does not live in my spirit? Darkness. There is not one fragment, one ounce, one fiber of darkness in my spirit. There cannot be, because God, the life of God, abides in my spirit. Therefore, if the scripture is true, which I know that it is, me and you have great news. We have an abundant news, an abundant revelation inside of me and you that God is light. Inside of me and you and inside of our human spirit is no darkness at all. Everything that we are internal in our spirit is righteous, where true holiness and righteousness abides. We have hope, my friends. Why? Because he is hope in abundance, and he abides in me and you, and he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We concluded, we got born again. His life, his light, God abides in my spirit, and in my spirit is no darkness at all. You with me? We are the Son of God. We have, our candle has been lit. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We said yes to Jesus. The light, our candle was lit. The life of God was deposited inside of us. God came and made his abode with me and you. We are sons and daughters of God, and no darkness abides in our spirit. So then, where's the problem? Not in our what? The problem is not in our what? Why is it not in our spirit? Because what? Because God is light and him is no darkness. Exactly how you guys are sharp. This is basic, but worth repeating. This is the problem in the modern day church. We have left the operation. We have lived outside of that light. And the majority of the church is calling that light. You can't live your life in God outside of the light. We can't live our life and think we're in fellowship with God, living our life outside of the light, meaning we can't do what we want to do and live our life and say we're living our life in the light, but the modern day church does. Listen to me. That is the problem in this world. Christians, we think we can say what we want to say. We think we can do what we want to do. If we want to hurt somebody's feelings, we're going to say it. It doesn't matter. We'll do what we think we feel like doing. Only one problem with that. When you rip your brother, or when you cursed your brother, or when you did what you knew not to do, you went outside of that light. That instruction to be quiet came forth out of the light. It was God, that new nature, that said, don't say it, don't do it, don't go like Nathan said, stop that now. Stop that now is what that nature says. That is living out of the light. But the modern day church, modern day doctrine has left true doctrine, has left sound doctrine. We have to know that this walk in God, we live this walk in God, this life in God, out of the light, out of the life of God inside of me and you. Christians, if you're living your life the way you want, you are not all right. You are not, listen, you are not all right. So many Christians that I know, my God, they're Jekyll and Hyde. One moment they're talking about Jesus, the next moment they're fornicating. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Well, it's okay. God still loves me. Listen, when is that going to stop? I did it, but God still loves me. When are we going to say, I didn't do it because I love God? I did it, but God still loves me. You can't tell. I did it, but God's, yes, yes. But when are you going to grow up and be mature and say, no, I didn't do it because I love God? No, 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 no. I did it, but God still loves me. Yes, he does. He's incapable of not loving me and you. But when are me and you going to strap up, gird ourselves and say, I'm not going to do it, Lord, because I love you and I know my walk, my life in you is out of that light, my Lord. When are we going to grow up? It's time now. Now is the time to live our life out of that light. Now's that time. Our life in him is lived out of that light. This is the sad thing. The majority, well, a lot of the body of Christ, they're in and out of stuff, in and out of fornication, in and out of junk, and they think they're all right. They got a big smile on their face. That's what 1 John is talking about. If you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. This is what he's making reference to. You're sinning so much. You're habitually sinning. You've gone so far out to an extent that you don't even know you're walking in darkness anymore. Then you think that you're in the light. But John said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you can't keep the commandments from within, my friends, you have not a clue what fellowship with God is, and you are in darkness. I'm not talking to the believer that makes a mistake on occasion, that's trying, that's pressing. This is not making reference to you, although it's still sin. But thank God we got 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But we cannot habitually sin and think we're having fellowship with the Father. You are in error. There's no fornication in our spirit. There's no adultery in our spirit. That didn't proceed forth out of our spirit. There's no love for money in our spirit. There's no strife and anger and malice in our spirit. It does not exist in our spirit. Because God is light, and God is light inside of you. And only righteousness and true holiness abides in your spirit, and that's what comes out. Do you know that we are stewards of that anointing? What do you mean, Pastor Homer? We can keep all of his instruction, or we can keep what we want. Unfortunately, for those that keep what they want, the book of James calls you an adulterer. If you keep what you want out of your spirit, and I'm not talking about physical adultery, I'm talking about spiritual adultery. The book of James calls you a double-minded. The book of James calls you a friend of this world. And when you make yourself a friend of this world, you receive nothing from the Father. That's faith with no works. Works is obeying the law of liberty. Works completes faith, my friends. Saying yes to the engrafted word, saying yes to the law of liberty, to your new nature, is what completes faith, my friends. That's the work that the book of James is talking about. We live out of that light at all times. Not in partiality, but even when it hurts, we live out of that light. That's what this is about, to teach you that this walk in Christ is lived out of our spirit. And in that spirit of ours is no darkness at all. Why? Because God abides in that spirit of ours. Our candle has been lit. There is no fornication or adultery or drunkenness or strife or anger or backbiting or malice in that spirit. Nothing but perfection abides in that spirit. So we're blessed, because if that abides in our spirit, that means it comes out of our spirit, so that me and you can abide and do what comes out of our spirit. And that, my friend, completes God's love inside of me and you. That's how we live our life in this flesh. We live it out of our spirit. You have to comprehend that. You have to comprehend it. If you don't, you're going to be like a spiritual roller coaster the rest of your Holy Ghost born again life, not knowing where you're going, because you do not comprehend and have a revelation that your life in God is lived out of your spirit. The place in you that the Holy Ghost has quickened, you have been born again, born of true righteousness and holiness. Perfection abides in your spirit, and we live out of his commandments, out of his love, out of his word that proceeds forth out of our spirit. That, my friends, is living a holy, undefiled life before God. We cannot leave that operation. We can't leave it. That is darkness. That is darkness. Leaving that operation of light is darkness. That's why he said in chapter 2, love not the world. If I walk in light, then I'm walking in what, according to 1 John? If I'm walking in light, I'm walking in love. I'm walking in darkness, and I'm walking in what? Hate. I'm walking in light, I'm walking in love. If I'm walking in darkness, I'm walking in hate. Well, isn't it interesting that John says, in the middle of chapter 2, love not the world. You said, and I said, that if we walk in the light, that means we're walking in love. Correct. You said, and I said, that if we're walking in darkness, that we're walking in what? Hate. But John said, love not the world or the things in the world. So if I'm loving the world, actually, what am I walking in, the light or in darkness? He said, love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not. If all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. Why would he say it's not of the Father? Why would he say that? It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where do you think that will of God is done and fulfilled in our life according to 1 John chapter 1? Where is that? Where does that will of God proceed from in our life according to 1 John chapter 1? From where? The light. From the new nature. He said, love not the world. You said if I walked in light, that I walked in love. You said that if I walked in darkness, I walked in hate. But if I love the world, then I'm not loving his word. Then I'm not loving him. So if I'm loving the world, I'm walking in what? Hate or in darkness. And if a person that walks, that entertains the world, a person that embraces the world, that person, now, you might say, well, no. John said, if you love the world, in other words, if you're indulging in the world, as he's writing to Christians, if you're indulging in the world as a believer, my friend, you are walking in darkness. You're not keeping the commandments of God. And if you're not keeping the commandments of God, you're not keeping his word. And if you're not keeping his word, you're walking in sin. And if you're walking in sin, you're walking in darkness. And if you're not walking in darkness, and if you're walking in darkness, you're not abiding in the light. And if you're not abiding in the light, you are not having fellowship with him. And you are completely deceived. You're not deceiving me. You're not deceiving God. You're deceiving your very own self because you're indulging the world. This has to stop. Like Nathan said, stop that now. This life that we live is lived out of our spirit at all times. You can't take a day on and a day off living your life in God. It is habitual. It is all the time because his instruction in me and you, it doesn't fluctuate. It is what it is. It is light. God does not change his mind inside of our spirit. If he says don't fornicate, that means don't fornicate on Monday through Sunday. Every single day of the year is what it means. It means the same exact thing. It means nothing else. It means other things. I'm not going to get graphic with you, man. It means the same thing over and over again. That light, the instruction from the light, it does not change. It can't change. We change. He doesn't. Love not the world or the things in the world. For many men love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These are the things in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the things of the world that John says, don't love them. The last verse of chapter 5 says, keep yourselves from idols. Love not the world or the things in the world. If you're loving something in the world, guess what? 1 John chapter 5, the last verse, he's talking to me and you. If we have something in the world that we love, my friend, that, my friends, is an idol. That's the very thing that John tells me and you not to love. But that love, if we have that love, that indulgence for the world, that's not coming forth out of our spirit. We left the operation of the spirit and walked into darkness. And we played with that darkness so much that our conscience was so seared that we began to say, I'm finding my walk and I'm in fellowship with you, Father. No, my friends, you are an absolute complete error. Complete error. Complete error. And you are not okay. 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 Why? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You are not having fellowship with God the Father. On the contrary, 1 John chapter 2, you are loving the world. And if you're loving the world, you're not having fellowship with the Father. And if you're not having fellowship with the Father, it's because you're not abiding in the light. And if you're not abiding in the light, you're abiding in darkness. And if you're abiding in darkness, you're sinning. And if you're sinning, you're not abiding in his commandments. If you're not abiding in his commandments, you're not abiding in his word. If you're not abiding in his word, you are not abiding in love. And you are in dangerous, 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 dangerous territory, because you know to do what's right because you're born again. We don't ever have to slip up again. And if you do, you go before him, cleanse it. But you don't have to habitually slip up all the time in God. Why? Because his instruction in me and you, it remains forever. And it far exceeds consistency. It is what it is. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop feeling that you're a victim. Gird yourself. Stand tall. Live your life out of that spirit, even if it hurts, man. What's at stake? Your testimony. Your testimony. People beholding you. The world beholding us. Believe it or not, the world is looking for hope. If we as Christians would just gird ourselves. Just gird ourselves and walk in the truth that lives inside of us. The devil's not the problem. 1 John chapter 3 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. The works of the devil, the nature that we had of this world, it's not in us anymore, man. The nature of God is in us. We live out of that nature. We have the power to say no to the world because the spirit of the world is no longer in us. We have the spirit of the Father, the spirit of truth that abides in our human spirit. We've gone from darkness unto light, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from spiritual death to spiritual life. The time has always been to grow up, but I'm warning you again. John says, I've written to you. I write. And he's expressing the same thing to me and you guys. It's time that we grow up and that we gird ourselves and that we walk according to the integrity, through the holiness and true righteousness that abides in our spirit. The time to fluctuate out of that is over, man. It's over. If you go to this church, you're going to have a hard time with what we preach here. A very hard time with what we preach. If you're flirting with the world, you're going to have a very, very hard time with what we preach here. An extremely hard. In other words, you won't last. You won't last. You won't last, and we won't budge. We're not moving. He's not moving. Bye. I don't mean that in a mean way. We're not going to depart from sound doctrine. If I departed from this and apologized to you, I'd be a spiritual coward. This TTG is going to be for those young people that want to advance it a little further. They want to deny themselves and take up their cross and say no to that flesh that resists everything that God is inside of me and you. That's what this class is about. If you're in and out of sin, you are not in fellowship with the Father. You are not. You are not. Because you can't be born again and sin habitually. And if you're sinning habitually, either you're not born again or you're very close to walking out of that lock, out of that light. Where is that line drawn at? I have no idea. And I'm not your judge. Only you know where you're at. I don't know where that line is. I do know that line is habitual, according to 1 John chapter 3. People will say, well, homie, do you know where that line is at? Yeah, I know it's a habitual line. I don't know how far you are into habitual sin, but I know it's a habitual line. It is. I do know where it's at. It's a habitual line. And one day, if you keep playing with that snake, like my pastor says, that snake's going to grow up and bite you. You might not ever return. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Let's get on with this. Because this walk in the Father, it's not grievous. Not according to 1 John chapter 5. You know why this walk in God is not grievous? You know why keeping His commandments are not grievous to me and you? You know why? Because they live in us. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he, listen to this, something so, we give the devil too much credit. Listen to this. Listen to these words of simplicity. We give him, the devil, no, he didn't make you do nothing. He doesn't have that hold, that nature of the world that's not in you anymore. He doesn't have hold of you. And who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. When you gave that 1 minute confession out of your mouth and belief in your heart, the spirit of the world was destroyed by the quickening power by the Holy Spirit that was put to death, and a new life, the life of God, was now living inside of your spirit. And with that life came His commandments. And then to live in Him, it's not grievous anymore. It's not a burden to you, because how He asked you to live is inside of you. It's not on a stone anymore. It lives inside of your human spirit. You have been born again. You just meet a little bit of resistance every once in a while. We all meet resistance. I had resistance all day today. I didn't even want to come preach tonight. Not because I'm in sin, but because I was, it doesn't matter. But this life in God, it's not grievous. It's not a burden to me. Why? Because I've been born again. And this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments, the ones we already keep, John said, they're not a burden to us. Why, John? Why is it not a burden to keep His commandments inside of me? He said, because whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. A simple confession and a belief in our heart. A simple, Jesus, you are the Christ, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Boom, instantaneously, the power of darkness was broken in your life, and the life of God came. God came and made His abode in you. And with that life, with that abode, came His commandments that dwell inside of you, and they dwell inside of you to come out of your spirit so that me and you can keep them. That's why He says it's not a burden to you to keep the commandments of God, because they live inside of you. You don't have to fornicate. Why? Because that fornicate, adultery, strife, being a drunkard, whatever, that didn't come forth out of your spirit. It didn't come forth. On the contrary, it came from your flesh, the part of you that's been positionally put to death. You never have to. You never, ever have to. Listen to me, and I'm done. You never, ever have to. Never, never. I love when Pastor Bronx says this one thing. You never read where 11 of the 12 went back into the world after they got born again. You never ever, listen to me, you never ever have to fornicate again. You never ever have to commit adultery again. You never ever have to walk in strife again. You never ever have to get drunk again. Why? Because the commandments of God are not a burden to me and you, because what we're saying we don't have to do, that lives inside of our spirit and it always comes forth. It's just a matter of how much do you love Jesus Christ to stand firm in that conviction and that righteousness and true holiness and to abide by what our fathers asked us to do. Well, I'm going to do it, but God still loves me. Yes, He does, but when are we going to stand up square? Look at Satan in his eye and said, I'm not going to do it because I love Jesus. I've been your puppet for too long. Listen here, boy. I've been born again. The life of God lives inside of me. I am a daughter and a son of God. You will not through manipulation, caused me to waver again. I know who I am in my Father. His commandments are not a burden to me. Therefore, those days of inconsistency, those days of walking in darkness, they're over because my candle has been lit. It has been lit. I am an overcomer. And if you have slipped up, ask him to forgive you. Don't habitually walk in that junk, man. Because the power to not walk in it, it abides inside of you. You never have to slip up again. Never. Men, you never have to slip up again. Never. Listen to me. Never. Never. Young ladies, you never have to have a man take advantage of you again. Never. Or vice versa. Never. You know why? Because that power of God, it doesn't go and come and go and come. It abides in your spirit forever. And the empowerment of that spirit is inside of you. And it has empowered me and you to say no to the damnable things and to the lust of this world. Why? Because our candle has been lit. We have been born again. We live out of our spirit. And in our spirit is no darkness at all. God is that spirit. He lives inside of you. We live out of our Father. He has made his abode with me and you. He has lit our candle. We have been born again. This is the foundation of Christianity. This is true, sound doctrine. And you might think this is basic. You might think this is stuff that we taught before. But John, before he died, taught the same exact thing. Walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, dying an old man, he reiterated what he knew from the beginning. He reiterated at the end of his life, about to die, he reiterated what he knew after he was born again. The same thing that he knew when his candle, he wrote it again years after he was about to die. He wrote it again. He wrote it again. What he knew at the beginning when he was born again in the book of Acts or John chapter 20, he wrote it again at the end of his life. This life in God is lived out of our spirit. 1 Peter, fiery trials. Long story short, in that fiery trial, live it out of your spirit. Submit to God. The book of James, diverse temptations. Live it out of your spirit. 1 John, live your life out of your spirit. You read every single book, the book of Romans, live our lives out of our spirit. Almost every book, if you think about it, will tell you the same exact thing. Live this life in the Father out of our spirit. And only out of our spirit. Not out of emotion, like I'm preaching right now. But live it out of your spirit. Even when it hurts, even when you want to rip somebody's head off, even when you feel like you need to defend yourself, take that pause. I'll take it. You reviled me. You hurt me. I'll take it. It hurt. You embarrassed me. But me keeping his commandments means more to me than me hurting you. You cheated on me. You stole from me. You slandered me. You took my wife from me. You took my husband from me. But I'll stand firm. Because his commandments, they're not a burden to me. They're not a burden to me. Because of everything that I'm asked to keep, I'm asked to keep it from inside. In my spirit, where God has made his abode in me, is his life. And I live out of that life. That life has become my light. I have the nature of God lives inside of me. And this is what we live out of. This is what Christ lived out of in his humanity. He overcame sin every day out of that born-again spirit. If he did it in his humanity, my friends, I dare you to make a difference. I dare you, young lady. I dare you, young man, to make a difference. Through will worship? No. Through obedience to his commandments, they're not a burden to me and you, living our life in God the Father out of our spirit. Our candle has been lit. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When we do contrary to the instruction of the light, that's darkness. If you slip up, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we confess he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't give us a license to habitually do it over and over and over and over and over again. I heard Pastor Jim Martin say, and I'm done, it was powerful. We blame the world. We blame, this is not a political seminar, this is not political here. Every Christian wants to blame Barack Obama or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party for the way the world is today. They get some blame of it, but you know who's to blame for it? The body of Christ. We have lived so inconsistent, we have sold our testimony. We have lived exactly like the world. We are the light of this world. We are the city that is set on a hill. We are the salt of this world. We are the ones that are supposed to bring God an everlasting glory. But we have acted just like the world. That why the world just laughs and mocks the church, because we act exactly like them. The world acts like they're supposed to act. They're unregenerate. We are the light of this world. We have the life of God in us. We do, not them. They ought to look to me and you for hope. They shouldn't, if they mock us, let it be because we're living right, not because we're living wrong. Committing to him who judges righteously, whose own self bear our sins in his body. And we're reviled. We revile not. We suffer. We commit to him who judges righteously. By whose stripes we were healed from aught, from unforgiveness, from being double-minded. Those stripes have healed us. Through fiery trial, through diverse temptation, through persecution, the spirit of glory and of God, he rests upon us. Sufficiency lives inside of me and you. We can make it. We can take it even until death, my friends. We can take it. We can endure till the very end. Come with me. Come with Pastor Bronk on this journey. Young people, make a difference. Deal with those strongholds by what we teach you to do here. Through the Holy Ghost, through what Pastor Dave has labored through for years and brought us an absolute gem. Pray in the Spirit. Push back that meal. Read those books over and over again. Confess God's word. Spend time with Jesus. Deal with the flesh. Live your life out of your spirit. If you don't, we'll just be another. You will be another generation that's laughed and mocked at. I dare you. I dare you, Kirsten. I dare you, Carl. I dare you to make a difference. I dare you. I triple dog dare you to make a difference. I dare you, Elijah. I dare you, Renee, to make a difference. I dare you. I dare you to live your life out of your spirit. I dare you. I dare you to live your life out of your spirit. Out of the place that's been lit by the Holy Spirit. You only love once. to love twice. Meaning, keep the commandments of God and abide in God, you love the Father. And when we keep the commandments of God, that qualifies us to love the Father. But simultaneously, we love the brethren. You love once to love twice. You love the Father. And in loving the Father, you simultaneously love your brother. You don't have to love twice to love twice. You have to love once to love twice. You love his commandments, and that qualifies me and you to love him. And as me and you keep his commandments, that qualifies us to fellowship with him, then we simultaneously love the brethren. Make no mistake, that is what loving your brother means. To keep the word of God means to fellowship with God, means to abide in the light. And as we abide in the light, we simultaneously love the brethren. Let's live this life in the light. Let's live it in the light, Terry. Young people, and Sandy, let's make, this isn't complicated. This life is in the Spirit. This life is in the Spirit. What I taught you tonight was the same thing Nathan taught, but he taught it out of Romans, and I taught it out of 1 John. Does that bear witness with you? What he taught out of Romans, I just taught out of 1 John. Let's live our life in the Spirit. Let's get this town born again. Out of that same love that we have to get them born again, let's lay hands on them. I got a neighbor right up the road that's been in a wheelchair forever. I have dreams about him. I have dreams about him. I've been confessing God's word over him every night. In a wheelchair. Been there forever. He can't even walk. I dream of the day. But whether it's me, whether it's Pastor Bronk, whether he rolls in here in the wheelchair, I don't care who does it. I ain't going to lie to you. I wouldn't mind being the one that has the goods to see him raise up in the name of Jesus. I ain't going to lie. I love to be that person. But I don't care if it's Terry. I want to see that man walk. I want to see him. See the look on his face when his muscles are growing back into his legs and he snaps out of it and he's jumping up and down for joy saying, my God, there is a God. That's what we are contending for in this little old vacant church. Not just to see them born again, but to see the glory of God manifest in everyone in this town that needs a touch from Jesus Christ. That is what we're contending for. But we have to live our life out of our spirit. Amen. Did you get something out of this? You have been born again. Stand with me, please. Yes, sir. Yeah, oh God, yes. No, Pastor Brown, you can't.
I just want to I'm not going to stand here and begin to try to say what Homer just said. It's perfect. It's just absolutely perfect. I just want to encourage you and just say that, please, one, God is, I am, Homer is, and God is so proud of you. For you that are here and listening and going forward and doing this message, Homer, as a father in the faith, is speaking to your lives and speaking to your hearts. And the one thing I want to say to you that I felt just impressed over there is that we have no idea what is being laid at our feet. There is a dispensation of glory that is being offered. When I say laid at your feet, I'm saying offered to us. And God is using the words of the doctrine that I'm speaking, that Homer's speaking, the men that you've listened to recently, as a foundation and restoring the foundation that Satan has tried so hard to destroy. And do you know, and I say this not condemningly, I'm just saying, trying to give you to have some kind of picture of what, how the Lord is trying to separate us so he can do something through us. So the words you've heard tonight and the words that you'll hear next month or however often the Lord speaks to Homer to do this are words of life that are offering to you a dispensation or an offering of saying, I want to use you so powerful, so powerfully that you have no earthly mental idea of what is being offered to you. You are being offered something that the apostles had. You're being, and what I'm saying is through that, there are going to be books that are going to be written about people in this room. There are going to be things that people are going to write about you. They're going to blog about you all over the world because of the power that is going to work through you in this city and other surrounding cities. Hallelujah. Do you know the groups, and I'm not saying this to condemn them. God loves them just like you. But do you know how many young adults attended church in Southwest Florida tonight or today who had some kind of, and again, I'm not running them down. I'm just trying to get a capsulize in your heart what God is offering to you. They had such a wonderful, fun-filled service, but they hardly drove out of the parking lot before they lit one up and began to burn one down. And I'm not talking about a cigarette. They hardly got down the street before they figured, hey, let's go to Hooters. Let's go there. They weren't trying to get just chicken wings. I'm not trying to get, hey, let's go get a couple drinks tonight. And before the night was over, they were in bed with their girlfriend. And it didn't bother them. And they go to church. There'll never be a revival in that. There'll never be a revival in that. Why are you saying that, Pastor? I'm saying that because what you're hearing is so truth. God is not, he doesn't hate those people. He loves them. But he's offering to you a knowledge that says, God is saying to us, it's like what Homer said a while ago, I love God. I love God. And because I love God, I'm not going to do that stuff. But what God is doing is far more than just cleaning us up. It is that first and foremost. But once he causes us to have this foundation of doctrine, we have no idea what is being offered to us. There is being offered to us a dispensation of revival like we've never known before. And I so appreciate, I just want to encourage you, please be a part. Follow Homer in his doctrine. Listen to what he's having to say. Listen and cherish these words. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you in a good sense. There's a good way to say I'm proud, and God is proud of you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah.
All right, guys, well, we'll see you probably, we'll see you Wednesday. And I don't know who's here, who's not, but if you have a place to worship God, this is good, solid ground, but be ready. We don't play. But we'll see you in about 3 weeks on a Sunday night. It's TTG. We got some T-shirts coming. I think Alex Genty dropped the ball. He stuttered today when I called him. But anyway, God bless you. Take this to heart. Read 1 John. Amen.